I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo! All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is where you will find something very different. It's a safe space here for independent thinkers out there, beholden to no party, no politician. And it shows every day. I'm not getting any invitations to any Republican Party cocktail parties. Today is Wednesday. I take a break every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock to focus on some more empowering stuff with my Hump Day Health segment, Natural Health News You Can Use. Today I've got a doc coming on with me, Dr. Mike Stonington. Got an interesting story. He does a couple things. He's an orthopedic surgeon. He is also a rancher, a farmer. He's got a grass-fed beef farm, and even he and his wife, I believe, run a no-kill animal shelter. So he hits on several different points, particularly during this time. He's not an infectious disease expert, but he understands, you know, the hospital system. So we'll talk to him a little bit about coronavirus, and we'll certainly talk to him about food. He's one of those medical people who has actually studied a little bit about nutrition. And I'll get him to verify what I do with just about every doctor. Actually, I don't usually even ask this question, but every MD that I have on the show has told me that they got no nutritional training in medical school. You know, some of these people go through 8, 12 years of medical training. They're not talking about, not taught how food, vitamins, minerals affect our health. It's when you think about that for just a second, and I make this point often, but that this tiny little pill that's the size of the tip of your little finger has this profound effect on your body and your health. But the 12 pounds of food you put into your face every couple of days, they just ignore and act like that doesn't really matter. So anyway, I'm looking forward to talking to Dr. Stonington in the next hour. It sounds like we need to prepare for a shelter-in-place order, people. Tate Reeves has decided to take a surgical approach to that, which I can kind of appreciate. And yesterday announced, I guess, Lauderdale County was a shelter-in-place order due to, I guess, the trends there. To be honest with you, I'm not really sure. It didn't sound like they were having a big problem. But national authorities are saying that this probably needs to be everybody. Across the news this morning, they pretty much said, we got to slam it all shut so that we don't end up with more New York's and Seattle's and New Orleans things. So we're going to take a look at that. Trump made some comments yesterday. I got a clip that we'll play in just a second. I'm pretty interested in all of this stuff on the political side of things. Interested, puzzled, because I still see, I talked about this a little bit yesterday, I still see a lot of people who consider this thing a hoax, and I don't know really where you're getting that from at this particular point. Now, are we overreacting? That's a totally different question. But there are an awful lot of people out there that are still talking about this being the flu. And most of the people that I've seen saying this are Trump supporters. And I find it hard for me to process. Donald Trump seems to be taking this very seriously. And people think that he's handling it well. So how does Trump handle this well? Play a clip in just a second, and at the same time say this is just the flu. If you believe it's just the flu, is Trump not overreacting? Has he been tricked by the advisors around him? President Donald Trump said Tuesday that the risk from coronavirus is emphatically worse than the regular flu, reversing his previous statements. Trump told a White House press conference that, quote, a lot of people had previously suggested the country should simply let the coronavirus take its course, just like the seasonal flu. He said, quote, ride it out. Don't do anything. Just ride it out and think of it as the flu, they said, according to Trump, who said, but it is not the flu. It is vicious. And yet I still see this idea that this is essentially a media-driven hoax. And I'm struggling to figure out exactly where this comes from, how this persists. Now, again, are we overreacting, even if it is a vicious virus? Are we overreacting to shut down the entire economy? That's a separate conversation. I am really focusing in on those people who say, this is just the flu. It's no big deal. Well, there does not seem to be anybody in any level of authority who actually agrees with this at this point, yet people still cling to this. Now, I can understand, looking at the numbers, that people can still say, in other words, seasonal flu still kills more people than we've seen, but that has to ignore all of the trends of countries around the world who have seen this thing and the actual spike in cases. You have to believe that that spike will never or would never have happened. The people who say this is just the flu have to be of the opinion, if this was the flu, that we would not have taken any of the precautions that we've taken, none of the shelter-in-place orders, none of the work from home. I mean, we would have just gone about our business as usual if this was just the flu. And I guess the people who say this is just the flu would not have expected any level of a spike, yet the government itself and Donald Trump himself is saying we should expect a very ugly spike, even with all of the measures that we've taken. This was him yesterday at a press conference.
I want every American to be prepared for the hard days that lie ahead. We're going to go through a very tough 2 weeks. And then hopefully, as the experts are predicting, as I think a lot of us are predicting after having studied it so hard, you're going to start seeing some real light at the end of the tunnel. But this is going to be a very painful, very, very painful 2 weeks. When you look and see at night the kind of death that's been caused by this invisible enemy, it's incredible. I was watching last night Governor Murphy of New Jersey say 29 people died today, meaning yesterday, and others talking about numbers far greater. But you get to know a state. I know New Jersey so well, and you hear 29 people and hundreds in other locations, hundreds in other states. And this is going to be a rough two-week period. As a nation, we face a difficult few weeks as we approach that really important day when we're going to see things get better all of a sudden. And it's going to be like a burst of light, I really think, and I hope. Our strength will be tested and our endurance will be tried. But America will answer with love and courage and ironclad resolve. This is the time for all Americans to come together and do our part. I appreciate a lot of the media. We've had a lot of really good things said. I think only good things can be said when you look at the job that's been done.
So there you go. So, again, 601-879-0002, if you're still of the flu, I mean, is Trump wrong? Has he been fooled? He seems to be taking it extremely seriously now, and his words and even their actions do not portend that this is the flu, yet I just see this persist everywhere. Now, again, there's two different conversations to have. You can have what is the disease itself? How transmissible is it? How deadly is it? What groups are most susceptible and most vulnerable to this thing? And then the other conversation is our reaction to it. What should we have done knowing that this is? But most people are basing what we should have done on the idea that this thing is just a flu. Come on, Mike. It's just a flu. And this seems to be a largely political point of view. This was Donald Trump talking about the numbers yesterday.
So we now have 10,000 in, and we inherited a system which was broken. Just like, I'll never forget the day when a general...
Nope, I'm playing the wrong clip. I wanted to get to this other one instead.
Million deaths, 2.2 million people from this. And so if we could hold that down, as we're saying, to 100,000, it's a horrible number. Maybe even less, but to 100,000. So we have between 100 and 200,000. We all together have done a very good job, but... than that. So you're talking.
So there you go. So he's talking now in the numbers of 100 to 200,000. So a bad flu? Would you consider it a bad flu? And again, you have to say, see, people will look at this thing, if it's all said and done, and let's just say on the optimistic side of what they're projecting right now, and I don't know, but on the optimistic side right now, say we lose 100,000 people, there are going to be a great number of people who leave that experience by saying, see, it was just a bad flu. But that misses the whole point that we've done all these extraordinary measures, and I'm not happy about them. I'm a libertarian. I believe people are adults, largely, should be able to make some decisions for themselves. But if we do all these mitigation efforts and we end up with 100,000, then you've got to make the mental association that if we hadn't done these mitigation things, then the numbers would have been the hundreds of thousands, or, as Trump suggests, up into the millions. It's just, this is fascinating to me to watch the flu people, because they support Donald Trump and they think he's handled it just so well. And yet they say it's only the flu. So my question is, has Trump been tricked? Is he overreacting, or is he doing the right thing because it is not just the flu? Now, of course, I'm going to get on to some of the financial side of this. It's starting to roll out. Phase four, hot on the heels, two business days after the $2.2 trillion phase three. We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good, no bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB. So phase four is rolling out. I saw this first yesterday. Trump said on a tweet. Here's what Trump's tweet said. And I have got some, I can't believe you people let me, I get a lot of people send me links and send me stories and stuff. I really do appreciate everybody who emails me. It's MikeMadison@WIAB.com or Facebook to send me information. I can't believe you let me miss one of the things I'm going to cover today. I'll talk about it in a bit. Guess who's getting to administer a lot of these funds? Anyway, yesterday Trump tweeted out, with interest rates for the United States being at zero, all caps, this is the time to do our decades-long awaited infrastructure bill. It should be very big and bold, all capital letters, $2 trillion, and be focused solely on jobs and rebuilding the once great infrastructure of our country, exclamation point, phase four. Now, I'm going to just mention something about this that people don't seem to really pay attention to or understand at this point. Yep, interest rates right now are zero. It is a fully manufactured zero, suppressed by Federal Reserve, that manipulates interest rates and creates the giant bubbles like the one that we are experiencing the deflation of right now. Do you think that, see, we're going to need to borrow $2 trillion now just for this infrastructure plan, and per Trump's tweet, we get to borrow it at zero. Do you think interest rates are going to stay at zero for the next 30 years? Or do you think that even in 30 years, do you think interest rates will still be zero? Now, we know we don't pay this money back, right? You know, all of the debt in the Treasury continues to roll over. You understand that, right? Because you can tell that this is the case because the debt never goes down, right? So if we did a 2-year note today through the Treasury in 2 years, we don't have the money to pay that money back, right? Because we're still spending into deficit every year by the trillions of dollars. And this year, I'm laughing at myself. I was so naive when I came on this air before any of these bailouts were discussed and said, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to see the first $4 to $5 trillion deficit year. I was so naive back then. We're at $8 to $10 trillion already. And this is April 1st. This is no April Fool's joke. This is a trick on future generations, but it's not real funny. So every time we issue debt, we roll it over. We have to refinance it again. So you have to go back out into the marketplace and reprice that debt. So if you have if you issue a 5-year debt, let's just say, as a portion of the $2 trillion for infrastructure or the $2.2 trillion for the original bailouts, in 5 years, since we won't have the money to pay it back, we'll borrow money to pay back the first loan. That's rolling over the debt. As the debt matures, we borrow more money to pay off the old debt, which starts the clock ticking on a new debt. So this money will roll over. So if we have zero interest rates for, I don't know, let's just pretend it's next 2 to 3 years, and then they start creeping up. With any historical context, you know, typical interest rates, normal interest rates, are going to be in the 4 to 5% area. So we're going to be refinancing this down the road at 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12. If you live through the 70s, you understand that interest rates can get up in the high teens. And with what we're doing right now, that may even be conservative. So borrowing at zero today means absolutely nothing. Because we don't pay the money back, we're going to have to roll that over and refinance it at a time when interest rates, I can quite assure you, will not be zero. Congressional Democrats in the White House have been compiling their list of what they say is needed in the next package. Prime among them is our, quote, our infrastructure needs, according to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who told MSNBC on Tuesday that, quote, many more people are teleworking or teleeducating or really communicating with family and friends. There are infrastructure needs that our country has that directly relate to how we are proceeding with the coronavirus. So Pelosi is on board with this. I'm going to get to the whole partisanship aspect of this because we know Nancy Pelosi is going to try to shove some pork in there. But people act like the Democrats do all the pork spending. They're notoriously bad at it, of course. A bunch of horrible social programs that fail and are bankrupting the nation? Absolutely, yes. But if you think the Republicans are somehow streamlining government spending, God help you. And if the world is not already flipped on its head enough, listen to this little exchange here. Listen to the reversal of roles between the Democrats and the Republicans in this little nugget here. In an interview with the New York Times published Monday, Pelosi indicated that another possible move was getting rid of the limit on state and local tax deductions, or SALT, S-A-L-T, that was part of the 2017 tax overhaul and affects California, Pelosi's home state, and New York. Now, the SALT tax is brutal. It's funny because this was part of Trump's tax package. Republicans suddenly want an eat the rich bill if they live in the left states, even though, you know, there are actually Republicans and conservatives in this area. But because we hate New York and hate California, we're willing to throw good, hardworking, honest business owners and other people under the bus because their government is bad. And the SALT is double taxation. The SALT means that you cannot, I think there's a cap of like $10,000 on whatever you pay in state and local taxes that you can write off your federal taxes, which I think is abhorrent. It's double taxation. But for some reason, this became a Republican victory because it particularly targeted. And yes, Republicans said, well, it will force these high tax states to reduce their taxes. No, it won't. These states are broke. And they're too stupid. They wouldn't have raised their taxes so high in the first place if they had a clue. But here it is. Just listen to this. This is Nancy Pelosi trying to do a tax cut. Now, you can say, well, that's just because it's for California. And yeah, that's right. But, I mean, didn't Trump do a tax cut for his constituency, which is the entire country? Doesn't Tate Reeves do tax cuts, or Republican governors try to do tax cuts for Mississippians because that's a conservative thing? Now, Nancy Pelosi's trying, and look, if you've just tuned in, I'm no radical leftist. I can't stand to even look at Nancy Pelosi. Hearing her voice is like fingers on a chalkboard to me. I just find this humorous. Nancy Pelosi is trying to cut taxes. Where is she getting pushback from? Senate Finance Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley says Pelosi's SALT plan is a non-starter. Millionaires don't need a new tax break as the federal government spends trillions of dollars to fight a pandemic, said spokesman Michael Zona. This is the bizarro world we live in. Nancy Pelosi is trying to repeal a tax, and the Republicans are saying millionaires don't need a new tax break as the federal government spends trillions of dollars to fight a pandemic. Does that strike anybody else as odd? Don't those things sound like they're completely opposite? Doesn't that sound like a Democrat talking point? Millionaires don't need a new tax break as the federal government spends trillions of dollars to fight a pandemic. That sounds like what Pelosi would say. It sounds like Bernie Sanders. That's Chuck Grassley's spokesman. And I looked at some of the things on this this phase four, and of course I read the comment section. I'm starting to believe it's unhealthy for me. I may have to stop. Although I was surprised, like yesterday when I read, or a couple of days ago, I read the Breitbart article where this guy, Virgil, just blasted Thomas Massie for being the one guy in Congress who was trying to uphold some level of the Constitution and try to maybe get people to actually go on record voting for the largest spending package in the history of mankind. And Thomas Massie was trying, the Republicans were trying to drum him out of the party. And this horrible Breitbart writer was trying to convince you conservatives that Massie was the bad guy. But the comments underneath the story were so refreshing. This was conservatives, obviously, who read Breitbart, who said, no, Massie's a hero. He's the only one up there that actually pays attention to spending. Everybody else just says they do. I mean, that was very encouraging. But here's a comment underneath one of these stories about phase four, the $2 trillion infrastructure package. Here's what this guy said. Great, another bloated bill for Piglosi and the communist Dems. You can bet billions of tax dollars will go towards special interest groups that have nothing to do with the corona. The corruption of Congress continues on. What an effing joke. A socialist hellhole is all but assured at this point. Now see, this is one of these people in the two-party cults who cannot see past their nose. I cannot begin to tell you how badly mismanaged the United States has been under the guidance of leadership from both parties. Are the Democrats horrible? Yes, they are. Yes, they absolutely are. But if you are fixated on this idea that all the problems are Obama's and somehow if we just get the House back, we'll fix, you know, this idea. And the problem is we have a horrible federal government. Horrible. Donald Trump can't fix it all himself, and he's not going to. Obama didn't make it all bad all by himself. He certainly added some things to it, healthcare being paramount among all of them. But I got to tell you, you people that are still in the red versus blue, this is Donald Trump proposing a $2 trillion tax package. This is Donald Trump who did the $2.2 billion, air quotes here in the studio, stimulus. I know it's a bailout bill for the banks. On top of the other $4 trillion from the Federal Reserve, we are now $8.2 trillion in the last 14 days announced in spending. You can call Nancy Pelosi Piglosi all you want. Certainly isn't going to bother me. But you are missing what is happening right now. Because the Republicans are joining hands with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi to do these things. I played the press conference on the signing of the largest spending bill in the history of mankind. It was bragged about. They were patting themselves on the back. Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell and Steve Mnuchin and Larry Kudlow and Kevin Brady. They were lined up shoulder to shoulder behind Donald Trump signing the biggest spending package in the history of mankind. And they were upset they couldn't shake hands about it. And I'm going to tell you when I come back, I can't believe you people let me miss this story. Steven Mnuchin has picked out somebody to help administer the funds from all of these bailout programs. Can you guess who it is?
Yeah.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller, and Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller, and Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You know, people like me, smarter people than me, people that have taught me. I'm no genius. I've learned everything. I didn't discover anything. But people like me, better people than me, since the 2008 crisis and the response to it, have been warning people that this is a disaster in the making. And they've been urging people to change course, demand that the Federal Reserve stop what it's doing with manipulating interest, let free markets start again. And everybody's ignored it because everybody's been in the political fight. Is the House going to go to the Republicans or the Democrats? Is it going to go? Everybody's in the red and blue stuff. You are approaching the event horizon. Isn't that the area that you get to when you're approaching a black hole and you can't get out of it? You know, there's lots of very smart people out there that have been warning that to not take our ship in this certain direction, just adjust course by a little bit, just to avoid this. Well, you are now going to take your red and blue fight straight into the black hole with this spending. And nobody understands it. I mean, this guy who makes the comment, he can call Nancy Pelosi, Piglosi, all day long. That's real intelligent. I mean, you know, it takes a real person to figure that out. But he has no idea what's actually happening right now. He's worried about the pork that the Democrats are going to put in. Meanwhile, the bills are still without some of the Democratic pork. And again, who knows what's in this bill? The bill was, what, 880, 890 pages long, something like that? You mean to tell me any of these Congress critters read that thing in a day? You know, we used to make fun of Nancy Pelosi for the, you have to pass the bill so you can read what's in it. And we just had Republicans try to drum Thomas Massie out of the Republican Party because he tried to demand that they go for a voice vote on this thing, to go on the record voting for this massive thing. He needs to be run out of the party. Donald Trump said this yesterday about this phase four, because of course, to a thinking human being, when you hear these massive things done, and let me bring this up too. Does this strike anybody as odd? It strikes me as odd. The U.S. economy, the entire U.S. economy in a year is $22 trillion. Right? So we've been out of business, let's say, for 2 months. And that's really being generous. It's really been about a month of hardcore shutdowns. But I'll go ahead. I'm trying to always be conservative in what I talk about. Let's just say we've been completely closed, and we haven't been completely closed, for 2 months. That is, by my calculations, my public school math tells me $22 trillion, and I like to be conservative, so let's jack that up to $2 trillion a month. Closed for 2 months, each month being $2 trillion, two times two is, let me get a piece of paper, $4 trillion. Can you tell me why, if this thing's going to bounce right back in a few weeks when this washes over us, and for many people it's just the flu anyway, why with 2 months of shutdown, let's say, well, we're anticipating another one, Mike, so you really got to make it three. Okay, three. 3 months of shutdown at $2 trillion generated in the U.S. economy each month. That comes up to, let's see, that four, and I added another one, that's two. That $6 trillion. Why has the response been to that already over $8 trillion? See, here's the dirty little secret. There's bad financial problems underneath everything, and that's what they're scared of. I mean, essentially, with the bailouts they're doing, They could have just gone in and said, okay, for every business, send us what your sales were last year. We're just going to send you the cash difference for it. And it would have only been a few $1 trillion to keep us humming straight along. We're going to send you whatever your sales were last year. You send them out to your employees. We're going to pretend this whole thing didn't happen. It would have been a few $1 trillion, but for some reason they're approaching $9 trillion now in bailout stuff over the last 14 days. Does that ever make you scratch your head? You should understand that that is what that tells you, that there were problems already. This doesn't even, this $8 to $9 trillion they're already talking about doesn't even count all this stuff they've been doing in the repo market since last September. Doesn't include the other trillions of dollars that they were spending in QE1, QE2, QE3, QE4, Operation Twist, zero interest rates for the past 11 years. We're in the tens of trillions of dollars. Donald Trump said this yesterday about this stimulus bill and the money for it.
President, you signed a bill today the size of which could choke an entire herd of horses. And before you even had a chance to put pen to paper, people were already talking about the need for phase four.
Yeah.
Do you see a need for phase four, and where do you think the priorities would lie?
Well, there may be something where we're going to have to help states, because the states have been hurt very badly.
The states were already in huge financial trouble before this thing even happened. See, this coronavirus, man, it is going to give a lot of bad politicians and bad managers a whole lot of cover on this. Oh, pay no attention to right now. Illinois has $7.2 or $7.6 billion in unpaid bills. And they've had billions of unpaid bills for a while. Now, many of you just went into your happy space into your head and went, I know that's a Democrat-run state. Well, you're right. They can really mismanage the crap out of a city and a state. But the bottom line is, these states have been in trouble for a while. Now they're going to use the coronavirus for a bailout. And they will get to act like they had been doing everything great for so long. Then that coronavirus came, and that was the problem. That's why we need a bailout. These bailouts for the states have been needed for years, over a decade. They're so badly mismanaged, Republican states and Democratic states. Democratic states worse? Probably, yes. They are horrible. They don't even understand budgets. They don't care. They just make promises. They just lie to people. But that's the nature of a politician. Now, this is what Trump says about how we're going to fund this thing.
And the beautiful thing about our country is $6.2 trillion, because it is 2.2 plus 4. It's $6.2 trillion. And we can handle that easily because of who we are, what we are. It's our money. We are the ones. It's our currency. We can handle it, and we can handle. I watched Jerome Powell the other day, and he did a good job. He said, we'll do whatever we have to do. John, we have to do whatever we have to do.
Where do you see the priorities be?
The priorities, life and safety, and then the economy. Life and safety.
So it's because of who we are. Now, I'm going to save that clip in an evergreen because, and it's not Trump. I mean, Trump didn't get us into this mess, but he's exacerbating it now. I know a lot of people out there say, well, he's got to do something, Mike. Don't you see what's happening out there? Look, that statement he made right there is going to be an evergreen because it's something that I would imagine the Roman Emperor might have made at some point, or the head of the Turkish Empire or whatever. I don't mean that like he's some dictator or emperor. What I'm saying is we're running an empire right now, and we use our dollars everywhere. I've got a story that I was going to get to in a couple of days where Europe and Iran just traded around the U.S. dollar for their first successful exchange. It's called using an Instex. Intex system. They've created a new payment system where they can bypass the U.S. dollar because we've weaponized the dollar. We go around telling everybody who they can and can't do business with. And what Trump is saying essentially is, well, we've got the reserve currency. We can print up as much of it as we want to. To which the obvious question is, well, then why $2 trillion, $2.2 trillion to get money to the people? Why not $5 trillion to give it to the American people? Why not $10 trillion? It's so funny. People in their brain go, well, now you're just being silly. Oh, am I? We're going to end this year at over $30 trillion in debt. What's another five If you've got the powerful U.S. dollar, see, this is the event that will collapse the U.S. dollar. It is happening right in front of our eyes. And very, very few people are going to benefit from them. Not my kids. Heart breaks for our kids on this situation. What we are doing is short-sighted stuff. But the bottom line is that we had had such a horrible hollowing out of our financial system for so long that now they're trying to, under the cover of coronavirus, plug up all the holes, the gaping, massive holes that have been in our economy for decades, and particularly over the last 10 or 11 years, where their failed attempt to restart the U.S. economy through massive debt since 2008. It created all kinds of problems. They're trying to get all of those problems addressed right now. And the sad thing is, it's not even going to work, and it's going to create even bigger problems for us. When you are paying $24 for a gallon of gasoline, you will understand what I'm saying. Right now, you don't. We trust the people in Washington, D.C. They always fix things at the last minute. I cannot begin to tell you. I'm telling you, I think this is event horizon. As I say, you're not going to benefit from this in the end. I'm not going to benefit from it. Basically, nobody listening to the sound of my voice is going to benefit from it. But one group I found is going to massively benefit from these bailouts, and it is one of the usual suspects, and I don't know how you people didn't send me this story, how you let me miss this story for a better part of a week. I'll do that when I come back. Guess who? Steven Mnuchin, former Goldman Sachs banker and current Treasury Secretary, wants to administer bailout funds. Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Next hour, we're going to get into Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. We're going to be talking to Dr. Mike Stonnington. He's not in the front lines of the coronavirus battle, but I thought we'd get his perspective on, you know, hospitals, what he thinks about what's going on right now. Going to ask him about masks. That seems to be a big bone of contention right now. Anyway, we'll talk about that. He's also got a grass-fed beef farm and host a no-kill animal shelter, too. So he's got a lot of things that are kind of fitting in with what we're talking about these days. But before I get there, I can't believe I missed this story. I've told you, news right now, trying to absorb news is like trying to drink water out of a fire hose. There's so much going on. But I blame you, you the listeners, those of you who share things with me. Now, a lot of people still share a lot of red and blue stuff with me. Democrats are all bad. Everything would be fine if we just had more Republicans. I don't know how you still feel that way, but you do. It's hard, you know, old habits hard to break. But I miss this nice juicy little nugget. So we right now have a 2-point true. I don't know what the total on the first two stimulus bills were, but we know the big daddy is the $2.2 trillion that was signed last Friday. They are now talking about a $2 trillion infrastructure bill. You know your government's getting massively, massively bigger right now, right? So somebody's got to administer those bills. Now, I've asked this question many, many times, almost in a rhetorical way, but why do you think so many people move in and out of our government under every administration? You know, they're in every administration, Clinton, Bush, and Obama, and Trump. Why does somebody leave a job making $4, $5, $10 million a year to go work for the United States government making, you know, $189,000 a year? Do you believe that all of these people who have served are just such great patriots? They just really want to serve. Maybe a couple of those. But I got to tell you, I always have my suspicions. Now, we have a Treasury Secretary. His name is Steven Mnuchin. He is, as I always make sure that people understand, I want to give him all the credit. He is the former Goldman Sachs banker, who is currently Treasury Secretary. The guy's worth millions and millions of dollars. You can tell him how much he's worth when you look at him and then look at his wife. Well, Steve Mnuchin, who's putting together these packages, will be making a lot of decisions on how to grow this government with all the fat new taxpayer cash or taxpayer-backed cash. He's making the decisions on how it goes, and I can't believe you let me miss this story. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is seeking to tap executives from anyone? Anyone? Goldman Sachs Group Incorporated and other Wall Street firms to help oversee more than $200 billion in bailout packages that the Trump administration is proposing to ease the economic damage of the coronavirus outbreak, people familiar with the matter said. Now, the interesting thing about this is this story is from March 20th, before the $2.2 trillion. Now, call me cynical, but I have a sneaking suspicion that if Goldman Sachs was on deck, along with other financial firms, Wall Street firms, to administer the $200 billion, which has now become $2.2 trillion, Mnuchin's team is considering executives with broad experience to help administer loans to airlines, hotels, and other industries suffering as the virus shuts down parts of the economy, the people said. The government is also considering taking equity stakes in some companies in exchange for aid, a program that financiers and bankers could administer at a fee. They leave off the part at a hefty fee. So the bankers are lining up for probably some underwriting fees, some trading fees, some administration fees. And strangely enough, Goldman Sachs, Steve Mnuchin's old firm, will be one of the recipients of this. Now, I was reading down through this story. I don't have time to read the whole thing. I do want to add this. The next sentence was, spokesman for the Treasury didn't reply to a request for comment. Goldman declined to comment as well. Yeah, it's probably best that they all just kind of try to keep this hush-hush. I mean, even Mike Madison didn't see it. And Mike Madison's on the lookout for this stuff. Anyway, I was looking, the deputy Treasury Secretary, I just read down in the story, this is during the break, this is how easy this is to find the corruption if you're willing to look at it. See, I'm willing to look at it under Mnuchin or Timothy Geithner under the Obama administration. I don't care what administration it is. So for those of you willing to look at the truth, regardless of whether they got an R or a D behind their name, it's so easy. At the very end of the story, it says Deputy Secretary Justin Muzninich has been overseeing the unit since June. And he's talking about, he's the Deputy Secretary of the Treasury. So I just highlighted his name. I right-clicked copy, open a new search bar, left-click paste to pull up his Wikipedia. Prior to joining the Treasury Department, Mnuchin was previously employed at EMS Capital and at Morgan Stanley in its mergers and acquisitions group. He also served as president of Mnuchin & Company, an international investment firm founded by his father. Another Wall Streeter at the deputy secretary. I would imagine Morgan Stanley, along with Goldman Sachs, will get nice, fat, juicy fees on administering these stimulus programs. Not to mention that both of these banks will also be bailed out by these stimulus funds. I did my show the other day, people. The American people, are best I can determine, you're getting about 6% of all of the bailout proceeds being presented right now. The banks will get some multiples of that. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
right, welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thank you for joining me. It's Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we take a break from the maddening world of politics and current events and give you a much more empowering segment called Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. This show is podcast. You can go to WYAB.com and scroll down. You'll find my show page. I'll take you to my podcast page, which is themikemadisonshow.podbean.com. Or you can get you can go to Apple Podcast and just search for The Mike Madison Show and pick them up that way. I've done the last several weeks on immune system, and I think that's a big piece of the puzzle that's missing for a lot of people. We're all sitting around in our houses, hunkered down, crossing our fingers that the virus doesn't come knocking on our homes, and that leaves you much more powerless than I believe most people are. You can do things to improve your immune function that at least give you, you know, at least tilt the odds in your favor. And I've talked about it a lot since I've implemented these kinds of things. My sickness has gone from bronchitis and flus and colds and strep throat, you know, every year for most of my adult life down to none. None for 14, 15 years now. I haven't had a sick day. And there's something about that. It's not just great genetics. It is because I started paying attention to what I put into my mouth. So anyway, those podcasts are available the last several weeks. And last week I had Dr. Pamela Peek on, and we talked about immune function there. She explained some of the science. You know, I can really nerd out on the science of how different vitamins and minerals work and how our immune system works, but I'm certainly no expert. I start every show by explaining to you. I am not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, not a biologist, not a chemist, not an infectious disease expert, not a nurse, not a therapist, not a surgeon, not a nothing. I have no certification to advise you on your health whatsoever, and I never attempt to. I just try to bring up topics and empower people to do your own research about ways that you can improve your own health, and it certainly seems to me with what we're facing right now with coronavirus, boosting our immune systems is something that should be on everybody's mind. I do think that could be a ray of hope coming out of this thing is that people should start taking that more seriously. This coronavirus is obviously going to peak and then decline. We don't know yet if it's going to come back in the fall, a different strain, if it's going to mutate, whatever. But just going forward, now that people are more aware of infectious diseases and what can happen to not only our health, but our hospitals and our economy, that maybe people will start paying a little bit more attention to how the body functions and what you can do to move about society freely and with more confidence. And a big part of that is improving your health and getting your body ready for those things. Your immune system, to me, it's like a muscle. You know, you work it out, you develop it, you work with it to improve it. So anyway, hopefully that'll be what we do going forward. Now, today I say I'm not a doctor, but we do have a doctor with us. Dr. Mike Stonington is on with us, and he's just got a couple of interesting things. We're going to talk a little bit about coronavirus, but I really wanted to talk to him. He has got a grass-fed beef farm, which is something I'm extremely excited about, and so we're going to talk to him about that and even a little bit about the fact that he and his wife, or maybe his wife, we'll find out, have an attachment to a no-kill animal shelter. As I've said over the past several weeks, this seems like a fantastic time for people to go adopt pets. You got all this time at home. Your kids are going nuts. They want something to do. Bring something positive and loving into your home. Nothing better than a dog that wags its tail. I'd like to say the same thing about cats. I've got a cat. It's the coolest cat in the world. It's just not the same vibe, and it lays on me. I mean, it gives me attention, but it's that dog. It's the wagging of the tail and the big eyes that stare at you no matter what you've done during that. You can be the biggest jerk out in the world, and when you come home, your dog loves you. So I think it's something we should think about these days. Anyway, Mike, thanks so much for coming on with me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Mike.
Yeah, so well, tell us a little bit about what you have done for a living. We're going to get into your farming, which is just fascinating to me, but you're an orthopedic surgeon, is that correct?
Yes, sir. I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and I've been practicing in South Mississippi for about 23 years or so. And I was at Keesler Air Force Base for the first 3 years of those 23 years. And then I practiced up in Hattiesburg for 20 years, and just over the last 6 months or so, I've been transitioning, and I'm actually on sabbatical now, and taking time off in full-time farming, and planning a new practice to start on the Gulf Coast. It's just something I've been planning, and it just so happens that coronavirus hit during this period of my sabbatical. So I'm actually not in a working in a hospital right now, which I had mixed emotions about.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. You know, I read some accounts down in from Italy a few weeks ago when they were, and I may have even talked to you about this off air a couple of days ago, but I was reading kind of the accounts of Italian doctors. You know, one of the things he said that was interesting to me in his case, and I think this guy might have been in Lombardy, which is the heaviest hit area of Italy. He said, there are no more, you know, orthopedists or pediatricians or, you know, cardiologists. Everybody's just a doctor triaging these people. Is that what's happening in some of these hospitals that are being hard hit? Would you see, you know, if you were practicing at a hospital in New York right now, do you get the feeling that it's just all hands on deck right now?
That's exactly right. Everybody is going back to basics, and the basics is practicing medicine as a doctor. They're not a foot doctor. They're not a ENT specialist. They're not a heart doctor. They're a doctor. They're just having to treat patients during this pandemic to basically triage to treating the virus. And that's the number one goal right now, is to treat the virus and to separate the sick from the healthy. And once we defeat this virus, then we'll go back into business of specialties and subspecialties and so forth. But right now, everybody is meat and potatoes doctor.
Right. Did you say you were practicing in Hattiesburg? Were you at a hospital in Hattiesburg, or were you in an office setting?
Yeah. So I was in a single specialty orthopedic group. And I was an orthopedic surgeon at a level two facility called Forest Union Hospital. And my specialties were basically trauma and a joint replacement. And so right now, everything in hospitals all across really the world are down to just essential surgeries.
Right.
So if there is a trauma, which are way down, and everybody can expect that because and see that, because when they drive on the road, there's a whole lot less cars. So vehicular trauma is way down. And things such as gang violence is way down. And so everybody is just doing what is necessary in the hospital outside of the coronavirus.
Well, you know, I read a story the other day. It's one of my favorites from the coronavirus since it started, in that ISIS had actually requested that their people not travel into any of the hot zones in Europe. And ISIS was actually encouraging its followers to make sure that they washed their hands.
I had seen that as well. They've basically taken a sabbatical from terrorism.
Right.
And and it's just amazing, though. If you've seen the pictures of the inner cities, it's they're just desolate.
Yeah, well,
and so that you can see why the for example, the trauma surgeries are down, and that's important because you need to have the resources to fight this pandemic. And as everybody's watching the news, they're seeing that ventilators are needed are needed in massive numbers. You have GM and Ford that are jumping into the ventilator machine game, and it's really similar in many respects to what happened in World War II, where they jumped in and began the process of making the things that are necessary for life, and it's really, in that respect, if there's a bright side of this, I think it's really a wonderful thing to see that industry can step up and really take care of this country. You know, I do believe there is light at the end of the tunnel. We're not sure exactly when it is, but it's amazing what industry is doing, and particularly our nurses and doctors that are at the front lines,
have
going
you,
to work every day.
Have you talked to anybody?
You're going to get sick.
Have you talked to anybody up in Hattiesburg at the hospital you practiced at to get a sense of whether or not, I'm sure they are, you know, moving, stopping elective type surgeries and stuff like that. Are they preparing even in the Hattiesburg area? I mean, are they kind of sitting around waiting to see if it's going to happen there?
That's right. Well, they're doing what everybody else is doing, and that is getting rid of the elective surgeries and only doing essential surgeries, setting up the hospital for an onslaught of virus-infected patients, and they're really doing a wonderful job. I talked to the chief medical officer and kept in touch with him, and he's they're working 16 to 20 hour days. I was able to have a good conversation with him when he was low on food, and he actually came to the farm. It was to buy some beef, and that's when I really was able to talk to him quite a bit. That was the first day that he was able to actually leave the hospital. This was just a few days ago.
Wow.
And even though he had left the hospital, his phone was constantly going off, and he was constantly having to make calls back to other healthcare providers. So this is a 24/7 job for all the healthcare workers out there fighting this pandemic.
Yeah.
And it really is an example of the human spirit, in my opinion.
All right, we need to take a quick break, but I want to come back in just a second, talk a little bit about, you and I discussed before, and you may have read a little on this, that there are different strains of this thing. I just kind of wanted to get your take from somebody who's in the medical profession. You know, I think that's interesting about Hattiesburg, because obviously Hattiesburg's not making national news for being an epicenter, but that medical professionals are taking this seriously, knowing that if they've been spared so far, that doesn't mean that we're all in the clear now. And I think people really are struggling to understand what the big deal is, particularly if they're sitting in the middle of areas that are not big hotspots right now. You know, when we look at New York, that seems a little extreme, but we just feel like it's just going to blow past Mississippi. So I kind of wanted to get your take on that. And then we're going to spend some time today talking about your farm and the benefits of grass-fed beef. I'm real excited to have gotten to know you now because of that, because I think that's an important component of nutrition too, is getting, you know, the best quality food you can. So anyway, we're talking to Dr. Mike Stonington. He is down in the Wiggins area. He's an orthopedic surgeon, and we'll be right back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 1039 WYAB. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 1039 WYAB, doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. We're adding a little bit of just coronavirus boots on the ground type stuff. We're talking to Dr. Mike Stonington. He is not currently practicing and not in a hospital right now. He's on a hiatus, a sabbatical, waiting to start a new position down on the coast in a few months. But I just wanted to kind of, you know, get his medical perspective. Mike, we have talked a little bit about the big thing now is the, you know, it's almost like a game, mask or no mask. And there seem to be reversing course on that. What are your thoughts on whether or not people should be wearing masks in public now or into the future?
Well, I think that's something that's going to be studied quite a bit in the very near future. It's an interesting thing is that you really can't study it that well, because it wouldn't be an ethical study. You can't tell people during the time of pandemic some group to wear masks and another group not to wear masks. So you're not going to get the perfect study. You can compare countries that generally were wearing masks as a part of their culture ever since SARS in Asia. It's been very accepted to wear masks. And so it's interesting, very tightly dense communities in Japan are not as bad off as you would think in this pandemic, as well as Taiwan, not bad off as you would think. And it might have something to do with them wearing masks. So it kind of goes counter to the original recommendations not to wear masks. And I get those recommendations because we were at a deficit on the amount of masks that we needed in the hospitals. We need to get those to the healthcare workers first and foremost. And I think most people understand that.
Right.
But let's say we have enough masks now. Is it something that we should be wearing? I think it's a complicated question. Like I said, Japan, Taiwan, the numbers maybe point to that it's not it is a preventive measure. Certainly, if you're sick and wearing a mask is important, so you can't transmit those droplets to other people. And if you're not sick and you're wearing a mask and you're wearing it properly, you can also, in my opinion, prevent getting the disease. But what the experts that you've seen on TV talking about telling you not to wear a mask in the early stages of coronavirus, I think it was predominantly to make sure there were enough masks for the healthcare workers.
Yeah.
They're obviously starting to rethink that. And this wasn't just the government saying it. You can go to a Mayo Clinic site. I looked at one on March 5th, and they were saying for folks not to wear masks that weren't sick.
Yeah.
But I think everybody's really rethinking that. A mask can be dangerous, and this is true in two ways. If you are not used to wearing one, you tend to want to touch them all the time. And so touching a mask that might have viral droplets on it and then touching your face is a great way to get the disease. Also, it can give you a false sense of security. You think, I've got a mask on, there's no way I'm going to get sick. I can just do whatever. Those are two very dangerous things.
Right.
But if you wear the mask properly, I think it's helpful. But I personally think that as long as you're doing proper social distancing, you're washing your hands, you're not touching your face, and you're far enough away from people, you're safe. You don't need to wear a mask. And so, for example, like when I'm out in my fields working my farm, I'm there by myself. Obviously, that's an extreme example of someone that does not need to wear a mask.
Right.
And I think in tight quarters, for example, physicians, nurses, in an emergency room where there's lots of people during these times, it's very hard to treat patients without getting close to them. So that's when a mask is important.
Yeah. Well, I think we're, I said early in this thing that the million-dollar idea is, whoever comes up with the MAGA mask, I think that it's only a matter of time before we see Nike and Under Armour masks.
Yeah.
You know, they are going to be designer masks. This is going to be a new industry because I think people are going to get all it takes is a couple of celebrities to slap these things on. You're going to see them everywhere. Do you think that
and
I want to move on to your farming after this next break, but is the transmission more dangerous from surface or from air? I can't really get my mind around that because it seems like I see conflicting things.
I think the bottom line is we really don't know what we need to know. And we're in the process of learning as much as we can right now. I mean, you just have to watch these briefings with Fauci, and he makes that clear.
Yeah,
we're learning. This is an evolution. As we get more information, we'll be smarter. So, based on what we know about viruses, if you have a droplet on a surface, and it's recent. Less than 24 hours, for example, and you touch that, and then you touch your face, you can get it as long as there's a big enough viral load. And but if you're a foot away from somebody and they sneeze on you, and that's a huge viral load, so that's going to be a better way of probably getting it. So we're seeing that doctors and nurses are getting sick. And why is that? Because they're getting a bigger viral load. It's the duration of exposure and the viral load they're getting because they're around it all the time. So,
well, you know, I know that vaccines essentially do what I'm about to say, but is there, you know, prior to a vaccine, is there not a way to give people small exposure to things like this to build up some level of immunity so that when a bigger viral load comes your way, your body is ready to handle it? Is that not efficacious in any way?
I would say that would be reckless, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because we don't know enough about it.
Right.
So I would not want anybody listening to us talking about this right now saying, I want to get near somebody with coronavirus and just get a touch of it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you said that because I was actually thinking more along the lines of medical professionals, you know, something like that, if they were just...
Yeah, but I think it's real important that people listen to this.
Yeah, definitely.
That's not what you're talking about.
Right.
Do medical professionals get an immunity to it? I would say that the medical professionals that are getting an immunity to it are ones who probably contracted it, recovered, and now are immune. We don't know how long you're going to be immune for. We don't know if it's months, a year, or a couple years. We don't know. And we also know that, you know, there's right now probably at least two strains. And what does that mean? We don't know. So what does that equate to? That equates to us being, try to be safe, use a mask when you need one, and wash your hands, use social distancing, and don't touch your face.
Right.
And so those are the things. But I think your question's a really important one for virologists to understand, and that's what they're in the labs doing. This is really amazing, too. You know, everybody knows the Manhattan Project. This is a international Manhattan Project. We've got, you know, you've seen the French studies, and we've got all these labs across America and great professors and thinkers that are working on it all across the United States and the world. And it is just one big, massive Manhattan Project, like none other, that is coming up with the solution for this disease. And I think it's just amazing.
Well, do you feel like, now I understand every virus is different, and so, you know, treatments might be different, it might manifest different, it might attack different segments of the population, different demographics different, but I am surprised the CDC gets a lot of funding in the United States, and it seems like the attitude now is they never could have seen something like this coming. But isn't a pandemic, when it comes to having materials, having masks, having gowns, having ventilators, having bed space, and I don't expect they're going to just build a bunch of, they may now build a bunch of just spare hospitals that if they need them, they can just crank them right up. That may be the result of this thing. But it doesn't feel to me like they were prepared for any pandemic whatsoever to be fairly widespread. And this is not, you know, this certainly isn't the zombie apocalypse in any way. So it kind of seems like what they should have had their eyes on. And I understand it's difficult. Every disease is different. But I feel like, I mean, I think our government is wildly inefficient anyway. But it seems like they should kind of have a plan for a virus like this. I mean, hell, Dustin Hoffman was making a movie about this in 2010. You know what I mean? So do you feel like they weren't prepared as they should be, or is there a good reason why they couldn't have been prepared for this?
That is a really good question. It's obvious we didn't have the resources we needed. And, you know, and I think this cuts across all political lines.
Sure.
And I think it's human nature not to worry about things when it's not a problem. But that's what the government's for. The government, the prime purpose of the government is to protect us. And you're right, government tends to be inefficient. Definitely, when they do their after-action report on this, they're going to realize that there were a lot of things that weren't done. But typical of our history in the United States, we're not prepared for a lot of things throughout history, and it cuts across all political parties. And then once we're hit with it, we react, and we react in a big way. And that's what we're doing now. But now, from here on forward, we're going to be prepared for these things. And they're probably going to create a pandemic department and all these extra ventilators that we're going to have after all said and done are probably going to be warehoused. And we're going to have, we're going to bring back our supply chains to the United States where we don't have to rely on other countries,
right?
Particularly China. And we're going to be able to flip a switch. I'm thinking anyway, but this is what we're going to be able to do. We're going to be able to flip a switch and turn these responses on when we need to, but we're going to have warehouses. But if you look at Samaritan's Purse, they put amazing bash tents up in Central Park. And this is an example of how non-government agency.
Yes, I'm telling you. Yeah.
Has really stepped up. And these are, so I think it's interrelated. It's government, private, charity that all need to work together in a pandemic response.
Yeah. Well, I know we're learning things. I just, you know, we've had scares before, whether it's bird flu or whether it's SARS or whatever. I mean, these things have kind of been knocking on the door. They've never materialized. But you would have just thought that with, and again, if the CDC was operating on a shoestring or our government was just lean and mean and didn't spend any money it didn't need to, but that's not the case. You know, the CDC has been getting billions and billions of dollars. It's just really strange to me that, and with all of the modeling and all of the information that comes from countries that have outbreaks, you would have really thought that we would have already had some level of a switch to throw and that we would have just adjusted for the uniqueness of the situation, but that the basic infrastructure was in place. And, you know, to me, again, you're exactly right. This is not Trump's fault. It wouldn't have been Obama's fault. It's none of that stuff. It's just an inefficiency in government that is kind of astounding to me in cases like this where they just felt like they were just completely unprepared.
Well, my point I'd like to make really quickly, too, but it's really interesting about government. When government's not prepared, they often don't get in trouble. But if this were on a microcosmic level, a private company that wasn't prepared, like a hospital, for example.
Absolutely.
The government would step in and say, why weren't you prepared?
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the other thing, too, is that I think we outsource, you know, the government has gotten so big. We rely on them too much. I mean, you know, I think the states are unprepared for things like this because they just look for the federal government to dictate what needs to be done, and then they go to them for money. It's almost like there's dependence on this big inefficient entity, and it manifests in stuff like this where everybody's helpless because they've been told that the federal government will take care of all of it, and now we find out, oh, they weren't even planning for it. So anyway, well, we're going to move on. Mike, I wanted to talk to you about your grass-fed beef operation, your little slice of paradise down there. Mike sent me a picture this weekend of what he was looking at as I was staring at, I think, a Bewitched rerun on the TV in my living room. So I'm going to talk about your beef-fed, your grass-fed beef farm down there in the Wiggins area. You're talking to Dr. Mike Stonington here on the Mike Madison Show. Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, on the phone with Dr. Mike Stonington down in South Mississippi. So, Mike, you are not only an orthopedic surgeon, you are also a cattle rancher down there in South Mississippi, and you have a farm that does cattle ranching a little different?
That's right. We're one of the just a few, actually just a few in the tri-state area that is 100% grass-fed beef. We're a close to 400 acre farm, and we are a farm-to-table operation, which means that we manage everything from the life of the animal to the table and the to the beef that's on the kitchen table. We manage the whole processing as well, where every 2 weeks we're taking cattle that we're driving to the processor, and so it's a family business. It's a family farm. My kids grew up farming, and they're all home. Some of them because of coronavirus, but my kids are all adults now, and they're in their early 20s, and they're all working the farm as we speak.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, tell us a little bit about, you know, this show largely is nutrition based on Wednesdays and stuff. Tell us what you've seen and you know, kind of why you moved to grass fed, what you see are the benefits to the human consumer of meat and what the difference is between conventionally raised cattle.
Yeah, so this would actually take hours to go over and we'll try to distill it down. It comes down to the soil health. That's why a grass-fed beef farmer is really a grass farmer, because it all starts at the basics, which is the grass.
Right.
And the grass grows from soil, and there has to be soil health. That soil has to be very healthy to create a good grass. And the soil is a living organism. It's made up of bacteria, protozoa, fungus, and that's all very important for the grass. And so if you have a healthy soil, then you have a healthy grass. And a healthy grass makes a healthy cow. And a healthy cow makes a healthy human.
Right.
And that gets to what you were talking about, the importance of food. And that's basically, in a nutshell, why I am a grass-fed beef farmer. Contrary to what a lot of people think, most people think cattle were designed to eat grain. Actually, you know, they're a ruminant. They have four compartments to their digestive tract, their stomach, and the rumen has microbes in it. It has bacteria, it has protozoa, and when you eat grass, which is a cellulose, carbohydrate, energy, if humans were to eat grass, we'd have a difficult time digesting it. But cattle have these microbes in their rumen, which allows them to break down that complex carbohydrate, and they have the right balance. If they're a healthy animal, they have the right balance of this microbiome, which is within their rumen, to break that down, and then that. Is absorbed into them, and they are healthier. Their immune system is stronger. When they eat grain, it changes the acidic content of that rumen, which then causes certain bacteria and protozoa to die off, and you get a different type of microbiome that is managing the breakdown of that grain. And so it's different, and you can imagine that would create changes in the cow itself.
Right.
And there are studies that show that. The end result shows that there is a lower level of saturated and monounsaturated fats in grass-fed beef. There is a higher level of omega-3 fatty acids. There's higher level of conjugated linoleic acid. All these things are things I know you know about that are important for your health. Vitamin profile is better. And so when you basically the cow is hardwired to eat grass, not grain. And so
right.
when you fight against something, it's harder to keep that animal healthy, in my opinion. Now, I'm saying some things are going to make some people angry, but makes sense that if you feed an animal the way they're supposed to be fed, they're probably going to be healthier. And if an animal's healthier, they're going to grow better, and they're going to be healthier for you.
And this means to you for things like antibiotics are not as needed as others that would. You know, if you're constantly kind of fighting against their diet to try to keep them healthy, you have to do that in artificial ways in a lot of traditionally raised cattle in some cases, correct?
That's right. So we are no grain, no antibiotics, no hormones. And I only give antibiotics for animals that need it, that are suffering, and I don't think we're going to be able to manage them without the antibiotics. And that's pretty rare, and they get culled from the program. They're no longer in the supply chain, so that's a loss for me. But I can sell them to at a market where people don't mind that there's antibiotics in the cow. But it's pretty rare. If it's a heifer, a female, that gets the antibiotics, then I can turn that heifer into a mama cow, And the fact that they're not getting any hormones, they're not getting implants in their ears that's making them grow faster. So a grass-fed cow will take longer to mature out for the beef than a grain-fed.
Right.
At feedlots, it can be 16, 17 months and they're ready. On our farm, it can be upwards of 30 months. And so that's why it's more expensive. We also try to keep our prices down so that people can afford it. And I think that is, if more people knew this about grass-fed beef, I think more people would buy it. And then we were seeing that. When I first started, I think it was about 1% of the beef industry was grass-fed. We're, according to some numbers now, we might be up around 5%. That's a big deal.
Well, I think it's this radio show. I mean, I think it really, this is the nexus of what has spurred this new growth in caring about what we actually eat. So you're welcome. Anyway, we got to take a quick break, and we're going to come back in just a second, finish up talking about your farm. And I wanted to just touch on the fact that you're running a no-kill animal shelter down there in South Mississippi, too. Give you a plug for that as well, just because time to talk about that stuff. We're talking to Dr. Mike Stonington here on The Mike Madison Show. Stay with us. We got one more segment ahead. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. We are back. Final segment here on the Mike Madison Show. Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. We've got on the phone with us Dr. Mike Stonington. He is an orthopedic surgeon, but he also has a grass-fed beef operation down in South Mississippi. And people are starting to discover the benefits of the quality of your food when it comes to how it manifests in your own health. So, Mike, tell us a little bit about where your farm is, how people can find it.
Sure. It's in Perkinson, Mississippi, which is just right around Wiggins. About 35, 40 miles north of the coast. And we're like you said, we're a grass-fed beef operation. And one thing I wanted to point out real quick is that the beef, contrary to what is put out there by perhaps other folks, is the beef is actually very flavorful. It's not gamey, and it is tender. And it does have fat.
Yes, I have had it. We have a mutual friend that got us hooked up, and they were generous enough to pass along some of your product to me. And I will tell you, it's fantastic. Fantastic.
Oh, that's wonderful. So appreciate that plug. You can find us on stoningtonfarm.com. That's two N's, STONNINGTON. So stoningtonfarm.com. We're also on Facebook, Stonington Farm. You can find us on Facebook under that. And right now, obviously, the world's a little crazy, so we're doing a lot of phone orders. And we've actually got a little notice on our website. So the interest has been so great during these times. It's actually people are afraid that they're not going to get their food, and they're having difficulty finding at times food in the grocery stores. And so we're getting a lot of people coming to our site. We're actually having to ration a little bit, not letting people get as much as they want, but still an adequate amount for them that will sustain them.
Yeah.
And the number that we can be reached at is 601-270-7048. That's 601-270-7048. And they would need to leave a message, and if the phone is answered, it'll be my wife, Katie Stonington, who manages that part of the business.
Okay.
And
we just have just about a minute left. I wanted to just touch, you're also running, you have a no-kill animal shelter down there. I just think this is such a great time to adopt an animal, bring some joy into your house. We need to clear out these shelters while people have got the time at home to dedicate to a new animal. So in about the minute we got left, can you tell us just a little bit about that?
Sure. So my wife, Katie Stonington, is president and founder of the Stone County SPCA. They are a no-kill animal shelter, predominantly dogs and cats, and they take in animals from the county, and they also transport animals to Florida and other locations on a routine basis. And in fact, one of my sons, who's one of the cattle farmers here, is somebody who often drives a van full of animals to South Florida.
Oh, wow. Okay, real quick, what's your site? Is there a website for that?
It is it's StoneCountySPCA.org. StoneCountySPCA.org.
Okay. Well, that's great. Well, it sounds like you guys are busy. If nothing else, you got a farm, you got an orthopedic career, you're going to be restarting in a couple of months, you got your kids at home working. That's the good thing. When they get to be that age, they're finally contributors rather than takers.
Right.
Anyway, we've been talking to Dr. Mike Stonington down in South Mississippi. Mike, we'd love to have you back again. I certainly appreciate you joining me today.
It's been a lot of fun, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.